Hello. QueerEF is now an independent community interest company. Our podcast's first four seasons were funded by National Student Pride, and so there might be some old calls to action in them. For the most up-to-date info on our podcast that funds budding LGBTQIA+ audio producers, visit wearequeeref.com and sign up for our free weekly newsletter that sums up the LGBTQIA+ world and supports queer creatives kickstart their career. Enjoy the show.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I just wanted to be in Gayland. And for me as a DJ, it was a vehicle for me to be able to play that East-West mix, which felt completely natural for me as a British-born Indian.
So I'm Amma.
I'm Azakim. We run a club net called Betty Mama.
Because it's also about the diversity of blackness and queerness and what that can look like and feel like.
Yeah, hip-hop and R&B and bashment, a lot of 90s jams.
Extremely sex and body positive. Coming in their full-on leathers.
Because of the lack of queer scene in York, I did go through a phase of being like, I need to move to a bigger city.
This week on Hashtag QueerAF, we're exploring queer nightlife. I'm Jamie Ware. And with LGBT venues closing all over the UK, is queer nightlife at risk?
Disabled access in York is so difficult. The bouncers are really homophobic.
South Asian people in London like being denied entry to queer clubs.
Or are we actually in the midst of a new revival where queer people are doing what they do best, using grassroots activism to make the events they want because no one else will make them for them?
Ellie and I have been harassed in a so-called like LGBT-friendly bar.
It's not about saying blackness is really cool and blackness is really sexy, so lots of white people should come and enjoy it.
A little bit isolated, even within the lesbian and gay scene itself.
Today, we're handing over to Amy Ashenden. She's the queer journalist behind the queer Muslim sex worker documentary. You'll probably remember her from episode 1 of season 2. And today, she'll be hearing from queer pioneers across the country setting up their own club nights, stretching from Yorkshire to London and even Wales.
So, what's the danger of not having representative nightlife? And what happens when events are run by the community they're not aimed at? Suryatapa Mukherjee has set up an organisation called Glitter to tackle Cardiff's lack of events for queer people of colour. The idea grew out of frustration that bouncers often refuse entry to Asian people into gay clubs.
We really have to question what we think of when we think of queer people. You know, what kind of person do we see? Because, you know, if you're saying that South Asian people don't look queer enough to get into a club, how are they supposed to look?
So we know there are issues when it comes to queer nightlife not being inclusive enough. And the demand for club nights where all queer people are free to be themselves is nothing new. Someone who's been tackling this issue for over 2 decades now is DJ Ritu. She founded and runs Club Kali, a nightclub in North London aimed at a queer Asian audience.
We created it to provide a safe community space for LGBTQ people, but with a foundation that was built on South Asian music predominantly. Having said that, we also play Kylie and ABBA and, you know, everyone else that's under the sun.
So Club Kali, in a sense, I guess, is quite unique in the fact that you've got queer audiences and Asian audiences and obviously queer Asian audiences.
Yes, what we're quite strict about is not just having any old South Asian audience there. We're very, very specific about keeping the club as safe as possible, and therefore that means it's a queer audience or definitely an LGBTQ audience. We keep straight people out as far as we're able to.
I know you run some straight club nights. Is that sort of for business needs, and how do you kind of balance that with the need to keep safe spaces for queer audiences?
it's been difficult balancing the two clubs, the straight one and the gay one. We have to make sure that the folks that come to the straight version of Club Carly don't get to know about Club Carly, so we have to keep very quiet about it. We've had to be a little bit quiet about Club Carly anyway, because there's always been the risk of homophobic attacks just generally.
How did Club Carly even come about?
In 1988, I got involved with the first ever South Asian lesbian and gay network, which was called Shakti. Shakti was created by a guy called Shivananda Khan, and Shakti was absolutely revolutionary when he created that. For me, as someone who'd come out in 1985, I was going out on the lesbian and gay scene almost every night of the week. You know, Mondays, drill hall, the going to the drill hall off Tottenham Court Road. Tuesdays, the Fallen Angel in Islington. Wednesdays, the Bell in King's Cross, which is now the Big Chill House. Thursdays, I can't remember what I did. Maybe I stayed in. And on Fridays, there was rackets at the Pied Bull in Islington. Saturdays, the London Lesbian and Gay Centre in Cowcross Street in Farringdon, which is the place that I first started DJing in.
Can I just say, you now made me feel really boring.
Well, it just goes to show just how vibrant our scene was back then in the 80s. There was a lot happening, and that was in contrast to other things that were going on politically and socially, you know, like the Clause 28. Sure. And having to battle against that, police being outside some of the clubs and venues and waiting to pounce on us as we left those venues.
Despite the rife homophobia at the time, there was still a thriving queer scene in London in the 80s. But what inspired Ritu to create a night as unique as Club Carly?
I would often find myself to be the only brown person, or at least certainly the only South Asian, almost everywhere I was going. My circle of friends, who were wonderful, were all white. And I, you know, it didn't really matter to me at that point, because I just wanted to be in gay land. You know, it was just about being okay to be who I was as a lesbian, you know. So when Shakti happened in 1988, it really was such a breath of fresh air, because the first meeting I went to, which was held at London Friend in Caledonian Road, well, I was sitting around a table with 25 other South Asian lesbian and gay people. And I can't tell you how empowering that was.
Must have felt pretty amazing.
It was absolutely amazing. And we started to go off for dinners and, you know, go and sit in cafes together. And there were things we didn't have to explain to each other, like about the food we were eating, if we'd gone to an Indian restaurant, for example, or about any kind of fears we might have about being brown and on the streets, you know, or feeling a little bit isolated, even within the lesbian and gay scene itself.
So tell me, how did the idea for Club Carly come about?
Well, we got into the mid-90s, and Shakti, like any group, community group, did that usual thing of forming and norming and storming. And it got to a point whereby I didn't feel so comfortable in the social space of Shakti any longer. And I could see where there were gaps. I could see what was missing from how Shakti had evolved. So I was determined to create something that filled those gaps and that felt safer, that was more hospitable and more welcoming for everybody who came through the door. And for me as a DJ, it was a vehicle for me to be able to play that East-West mix, which felt completely natural for me as a British-born Indian. And what was quite crucial was also ensuring that, as far as we could, that people felt safe being there, that they could be there on their own terms, they could dress how they wanted to. This is one of the reasons why we were completely open to the Chutney Queens, or our version of drag queens. Whereas some clubs that opened after us within the Gaysian scene as it developed were quite anti-drag, anti-trans, anything. And our approach was completely different to that.
How do you go about making sure you've got that atmosphere of feeling at home when you're in a big club environment and each night depends on what kind of crowd just turns up at the door?
I think it starts right there on the door. That's where you set the tone. I mean, we had Club Carly only last week on Friday because it's once a month now. It's on the first Friday of every month. And I had a number of people at the door who were actually quite uncomfortable. You know, there was one guy, he'd never been there before. So I made a point of introducing him to people in the club that I knew were friendly, that would, you know, make him feel like he was part of something. He'd have someone to talk to and wouldn't be sitting like a lemon in the corner. The thing is, with South Asian people, we experience a great degree of racism in the street, in society, regardless of our sexuality. So that's there anyway. And we've actually noticed a sharp increase in that. I think especially since 9/11, more so since 7/7, the 7/7 bombings in London. And of course, it's been renewed again since the referendum vote for Brexit. So it's vitally important that we have Club Carly there, again, as a safe and secure space for people. Now, again, these queer South Asians are out and about on the general lesbian and gay, etc., clubbing scene, and they still experience a level of racism there too. Mm-hmm. It's not just in the street, it's also in clubs. It's in gay spaces.
Considering that, you know, we kind of have less queer spaces these days, and it sounds like in the great days of the 80s, although despite all the homophobia going on at the time, do you think it's important for people to be engaged in creating their own queer events?
I think there's so much room for so much more. I think there's a lot of us that very much miss places like First Out Cafe, which used to be off Tottenham Court Road, the old London Lesbian and Gay Centre, which, you know, closed down in Farringdon back in 1992. We very much need these spaces so that we can, you know, just, I suppose, normalise and the element of homophobia is not going to potentially rear its ugly head.
Oh, it was really nice hearing about First Out again. I've actually graduated now, but when I studied at the University of Westminster, that's where we would hold LGBT society meetings. It was one of the tragic losses in the new Tube Line Crossrail. It closed lots of small businesses across the city. But what I'm hearing so far in Amy's storytelling is giving me hope that when queer spaces close down, another one pops up somewhere else. And after the break, we're going to hear more about that. Plus, Amy finds out how you can help queer spaces thrive, or even set up your own. Thanks for listening to #QueerAF. We make this show to keep the pride of conversation that is National Student Pride alive all year round. But just like queer spaces everywhere, we need your help to spread the #QueerAF agenda. And that's why we're giving away 2 free tickets to Batty Mama in London on the 27th of April for our favourite review left on iTunes. You're going to hear straight after the break why it's amazing news that we're giving you tickets. And all we're asking that you do in return is rate and review us on iTunes, because that's the absolutely best way to help the show get in front of more eyes and ears. So for free tickets to one of the best and up-and-coming queer nightlife events around, get rating. Head to Apple Podcasts. Welcome back. This is #QueerAF. I'm Jamie Wareham. This week, the queer journalist Amy Ashenden is talking to DJs, creatives and activists who are shaping and reviving queer nightlife across the UK. And now, Amy's going to find out how you can set your own queer event up.
Three friends, Hakeem Kazim, Amma Josephine Budge and Azana Shabazz, are shaking up the queer scene with their new club night, Batty Mama. Taking place across London, Batty Mama is a mix of live performances and art exhibitions, all within a club night, aimed at and founded by black queer creatives. I went down to Camden Roundhouse to catch up with Batty Mama founders, Hakeem and Amma, to find out more about their amazing project.
Oh, hi. So I'm Amma.
I'm also Hakeem, and we run a club night called Batty Mama.
Yeah.
It's like a quarterly black queer performance art and mixed media club night. So we sort of celebrate black LGBT performers, filmmakers, films, anything that centres black queer lives and creativity.
Really aim to create a kind of immersive performance experience, so you can go and listen to music and dance, but you can also watch performance or film or chill out or talk. And it's supposed to be an introvert as well as extrovert centered space, which is great because we're very introvert and extrovert, aren't we?
Yeah.
From Afrofuturism to a white party, every night they put on has a different theme. And the Batty Mama team always make sure the person of colour hired to help design the theme is paid fairly. They also pride themselves on being fully sex and body positive.
I mean, I think one of my favourite things about the night has been people coming in in their full-on leathers and just being like, you are amazing, and them saying, I would never wear this out anywhere else.
Yeah, so in general, it is quite nice just to have space to hang out. And I think it's important to know that you are going to somewhere that is for you, by people who understand you and by people who appreciate you as a person, and yeah.
Batty Mama certainly sounds like it has a lot going on, but how hard was it to practically set up the event?
The first year was, I don't know, a little bit easier than I thought it was going to be, but I suppose when you look back, it's probably, it was super hard, but I forgot how hard it was. I don't know. I was going to compare it to childbirth, but I'm not sure.
I was just about to say that. You have a baby, you just end up with the baby. You're like, yeah. Oh, look at the baby. Yeah. And you forget all the pain.
Yeah. I assumed it was, but yeah. I can't remember.
It's a different kind of animal, I think, when you're trying to create a safer space. Mm-hmm. And that's something we've been really, really learning from. And we've been really championing our Batty Body system, which is having volunteers on the night who are there for kind of hugs and support and trying to like spread out so as many people as possible to support you if something happens. Mm-hmm. And also Hakeem particularly has been phenomenal in championing accessibility. And we also really wanted to move from Dawson Superstore because it's not an accessible venue, and that was really important for us. But then also, like, having BSL signers at our events has been, I think, quite groundbreaking. I've never been to a club night that does that. Mm. A lot of people have said that they only came because it was advertised that there was going to be BSL signers there, and we're working on what accessibility means in across the board.
What would your tips be for someone looking to set up their own queer night?
I think I always thought that it was only the super popular people who could run nights, and like you really can just, you have a bunch of friends and you want to do something and you can just do something and then build on it from there.
Yeah. Like you were saying, you know, you can be introvert or extrovert and you can exactly. still run your own club night, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also really important that it's not a night that relies on you being somebody who does any substances as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really important. Like a lot of people come who are teetotal or who are in NA or who just don't drink or don't choose to for whatever reason. I really want to move away from a culture where in order to go out you have to get shit faced, and that's the only way to like have a good time, because it's really inaccessible for a lot of people who don't want to do that.
Another key issue when it comes to nightlife and the alcohol and drugs that surround it is well-being. A queer couple from York, Jess and Ellie, have created their own night centred around mental health to allow people to freely express any struggles they might be going through.
Hey!
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks.
So I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about the night you run, basically.
So Queer Space is like a mental health-themed performance night, because we sort of recognised a need in York for more like safe and supportive queer spaces, because at the moment there's not a lot. Ellie and I have been harassed in a so-called like LGBT friendly bar, so it's not like the easiest of cities to go out in as a queer person. And we had the idea because we watched, it was a documentary on BBC Three, it was Growing Up Gay with Ollie Alexander, and he did something similar in London, and I was like, why don't we do this?
Ellie and Jess were inspired by a BBC documentary on mental health called Growing Up Gay.
In fact, the documentary Growing Up Gay by BBC Three was being filmed in the build-up to National Student Pride 2. And when Ollie Alexander came by for a chat on our sex and education panel, he was building up to the very scene we're about to play you. His documentary was all about mental health, but he also concluded it by, just like us, calling for more to be done for sex and education to be more LGBT plus inclusive. And NSP went along to his mental health pageant at the Glory, and we can assure you that the Honesty Box, poetry and drag performances all talking about mental health were liberating.
So I'm in London, I'm in East London, and tonight we are putting on a mental health themed night at the Glory, which is a local gay bar, and we're going to have performances, and yeah, I think it's going to be really, really fun. I'm really excited.
I'm putting on the night with East End drag royalty, Johnny Wu.
Hi, Johnny.
Hello, how are you?
Oh my God, this is amazing.
I know, this is my Honesty Box.
Oh God, let me have a look at this.
Beautiful.
Did you do it yourself?
Yeah. I'm just going to set up here, then.
I made this honesty box to allow people to post their true fears and anxieties. It's clear none of us are talking enough about mental health, and I want this event to encourage people to share. Some will do this through performances, and I hope for others, my box will be a start.
Jess and Ellie loved all of the concepts from Ollie's documentary, so they put their very own mental health pageant on in York.
Last time, yeah, we had like lots of spoken words about mental health stuff. We had someone read out a personal essay about like coming out and HIV and that kind of thing.
We also had like a big post box where people could write anything they wanted, like anonymously, like their secrets, coming out stuff, stuff about being queer, stuff about their mental health, anything they wanted, and just put it into the post box.
That's such a great idea.
Jess and Ellie put together a committee of trans and non-binary folk that they already knew from a support group to help them make decisions.
The committee took charge of various things, like we had someone in charge of the crafts that we were selling, someone in charge of like the decorations.
Yeah.
We all took votes on like larger things, like which charities we were going to fundraise for.
Was it easier or harder than you expected?
I found it harder than expected. Just before the event, I remember saying to Ellie, we are never doing this again. but then at the end, I was like, we are so doing this again.
Did you face any kind of challenges in organising the night? Like, for example, you said there weren't any specific LGBT places, so were you kind of like worried about bouncers being homophobic? Were you worried about like disabled access or anything like that?
Disabled access in York is so difficult because a lot of the buildings are like listed, and so a lot of spaces are upstairs, especially bars that are the kind of more independent bars that would be comfortable with having an LGBT event, because a lot of the like larger clubs and bars are on like Pride nights and stuff, the bouncers are really homophobic.
We wanted to kind of allow people to express themselves.
What was the reaction to the night out?
Amazing.
Yeah, we got feedback from someone saying that their friend had like come out and started using like different pronouns following the night and stuff.
Wow, so it was a really empowering night then.
Definitely. Yeah. The thing that was most powerful for me is that because of the lack of queer scene in York, I did go through a phase of being like, I need to move to a bigger city. But that can't really happen for us for like various personal reasons. So like, it's been really powerful for me to like be able to say, well, there's not a lot of a queer scene in York, so let's just create one. So I would encourage anyone who feels like marginalised in their own city to like try and get some people together and create your own scene if you're able.
So, it just goes to show how transformative it can be to have inclusive queer spaces where you're free to be yourself. And if the current queer scene near you doesn't reflect you or feel inclusive enough, there are ways to change it. Thank you to all our guests on this week's episode, and hopefully they inspire you to put on your own queer event. Remember, it could be a night for introverts or extroverts, and small towns need queer events just as much as big cities.
That's it for this week's hashtag QueerAF, but there's always time for a quick roll call of credits. This week's show gives a massive thanks to Amy Ashington. Remember to go back and listen to our episode on her documentary, The Queer Muslim Sex Worker. And then go listen to the full documentary she made. It's amazing. You'll find all of the links in the show notes and on our social media at Student Pride. Presented by me, Jamie Wareham, production and reporting this week comes from Amy Ashington. And remember, we're giving away 2 free tickets to that amazing club night that you were hearing about, Batty Mama, in London on the 27th of April. All you have to do is review our show on iTunes. Out of all the reviews left after this episode, we're going to pick our favourite and give you 2 free tickets. So go to Apple Podcasts, whether you use an iPhone or not, and type in a rating and review. It's an awesome night, and you could be going for free thanks to us and the team at Batty Mama. So spread the hashtag QueerAFAgenda, because we're queer as fuck, and so are you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.